I'm sorry, I'm coming out of my skin right now. It's been a goal of this church to foster an environment that is fun and safe. And if you've never experienced fun and safe before, we want to introduce you to fun and safe this morning. We just got finished doing a series this summer on the dog days of the soul. So we're doing some introspective stuff. Let's deal with all that stuff. Let's pull that out. Let's throw it down at the foot of the cross. And let's press into the good stuff, the meat that God has for you. He wants to lavish on, empower you to do great and marvelous things as you rest in him. And now we're transitioning to a new series on the book of Psalms. And we want to go up. So the last one was in. We want to go up now. Let's get some focus on the creator of the universe. And then after that, we're going to do some out stuff. This is what it looks like when you take this and you go out to the greater Nyack area. And so this is the in. And so above and beyond chasing after a big God. Because he's a big dot. He's a big guy. And oftentimes we make him kind of tiny. And if you want to open up your Bibles to Psalm 32 on your pew Bible, it is page 543. This is our focus this morning, freedom that repentance brings. And I don't know what gets conjured up in your soul when you hear the word repentance. And maybe not all of it's good. So what are the thoughts and images when you hear that word repentance? What comes to mind? Is there some cringing? Do you have images in your head or thoughts in your head of somebody standing over top of you, kind of pressing you down, pressing you in? I want to try to flip the page this morning on what repentance really looks like. Because repentance really is a turning. It's a turning from this direction and going that direction. And I think the word repentance has gotten a bad rap. It's gotten a bad rap. And it conjures up images. I just yesterday heard a story of a pastor who had walked into a church, and this is a couple years ago, and there was a young man sitting there, and his hair had overlapped his collar. And the pastor walked up and grabbed the guy by the hair and said, "Next Sunday, this will be cut, or you will not come in here." And the guy looked up at him and said, "You have your wish. I'm never coming back." I don't know what your experience has been with this, but as a dad and as a pastor, can I just kind of all look you in the eye and just tell you I'm sorry? I'm sorry for the baloney and the bullcrap that you've had to deal with. Not right. It's not what the God of the universe wants to share with you. And this thing called repentance got twisted. And it became about a man empowerment thing as opposed to a freedom in Christ thing. And I want you to experience freedom like you've never experienced freedom before. I was just a kid, and I blew it with my father. He had asked me to do something, and I just completely, I was not that kid. I had other siblings who were that kid, so I learned from their mistakes. But this one time, I mean, my dad looked me straight in the eye. He said, "You do this, you're going to screw up." And I said, "Got you, screw up." And I can remember I was a freshman at Nyack College, and I was sitting there, and there's this speaker up there saying, "Some of you out there know there's something on your heart, and you need to get on the phone, and you need to call your parents right now, and you need to apologize." And I was like, "How did you know?" this guy is psychic. I ran to the nearest payphone. That's dating me. We didn't know what cell phones were at that point. I ran to the nearest payphone, and I called my dad, and I was like, "Dad, remember when this happened?" "Yep." "Hey, I did not listen to you at all." "I know." What do you mean? What do you mean you know? "I know." "Well, why did you like scream, yell, some do a dad thing? Come on." He's like, "I knew you'd turn around. I knew I'd have this phone call. And I just want you to know you're forgiven." That is a healthy response of repentance and forgiveness. So if you have not experienced that in your life, it's time. It's time for you. Thank you, Dad, because he'll listen to this. So you never tell good stories. This is what the Word of God says. Let's look at this, because this is so good. And we've got some really cool stuff planned for this morning. And this really, this passage just really sets us up. Join with me here in verse 1. "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer." And then this little word, Selah, which is a musical term that means pause. So let's just pause for a second. Right? Let's pause. And let those words sink in. First of all, it's a blessing to be forgiven. And if you've ever been forgiven for anything in your life, there's like this boulder weight that just kind of falls off. Is there not? And there's like a freedom in your step. And David is saying, I have experienced that. But when we don't repent, the effects of that whole thing, they affect our body, our soul, our mind, and our spirit. We walk around with that boulder on. I don't know who you think you are. You are not the strongest man or woman in the world. You're not. Just let it go. Drop that thing. Let's keep going. "Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I didn't cover up my iniquity. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Selah, pause. A true, authentic confession leads to Christ's forgiveness every single time. Not on alternate Thursdays, not on leap year day, every single time. Selah. Let that sink in. Every single time. Some of you still haven't got it. It's all right, we'll get there. "Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found." He's talking to God here. "Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with the songs of deliverance." Guys, when you let all that go, when you let it all go and understand that the God of the universe is on your side and wants every good and pleasing thing for you, when the surge of life, when the junk comes in, there's a buffer. Because my hope is now in him and not in things or people or words or actions of others or gifts or whatever. It's in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is your anchor. He is your compass. When the water surges, your feet will not move. Selah. You are secure in the arms of Christ. You've been found by him and have repented and have nothing to fear any longer. Selah. And then the God of the universe responds, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by the bit and the bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. You ever ridden a horse before? My first and only time on a horse was in Russia, of all places. I'm in Russia, I'm touring the country, and they're like, hey, we're going to go ride horses. Great, I have never done this before. This is an opportunity to look stupid. I had like visions of like me trying to get on the horse and falling off, or like the saddle not being on there right, and I flip underneath, and everybody's laughing. And so these are the things that are running through my head. And instead, I got in the horse fine. Put my foot right in, got right up on that horse, and I was like, all right, I got this. This is good. All right, buddy, let's go. Nothing. Not a thing. I'm just standing there like this. I'm kicking and kind of like looks up at me like, you want me to move? And meanwhile, the rest of the people I'm with, they were riding around like they were pros. And this one girl's like, she's like, what's the matter with you? Just kick him. And I'm like, kicking him. And he's looking at me. And I'm kicking him. He's looking at me. I think we made it all of 5 feet in a half an hour. Do you get that image? Do you see that picture? Man, that is not what God wants for you. To be dragged and pulled. This morning, I'm sitting at my dining room table. I'm drinking my cup of coffee. I'm looking at God's word. I'm getting excited about Sunday. And I look out our window, and 8-point buck walks right through my backyard. And I was like, what? And I get out and like try to take a picture, and he's weaving in through the trees. I'm like, wow, this is really cool, God. A second later, 4-point buck right behind him. Not a care in the world, just doing his thing. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome. The kids aren't up yet. I have nobody to tell. And I sit back down. I'm drinking my cup of coffee. I'm like, Lord, that was really cool. 6-point buck. I'm like, what is cool? It's like a game farm in my backyard. And then this picture pops into my head. If you are a deer in Rockland County, you have no care in the world. You are as free as free can be. Nobody's going to touch you. You might get a crazy lady to come out and chase you with her broom because you're eating her bushes. But you walk around like you own the place. So don't be a horse. Don't be pulled and dragged around. Be proud and strong and walk in the strength of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because he wants you to be free. Let me say that again. So be strong in him and walk around in your freedom, because you're found in the arms of Christ Jesus. And then he concludes, rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. There's a reason why he's rejoicing like that. Because he has turned and found the love of the Father that he so desired. And there's a freedom that that brings that nothing else on this planet Earth can offer you. And the only proper response to that is rejoicing. And telling him how great he is. You know what I did after I got off the phone with my dad? I just went and told all my friends, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe this. This is what I did. This is what I said to my father. And he's like, you're forgiven. What? Ah, the Lord of the universe wants you to have freedom. And the elder board wants to model that to you this morning. We've been just having these crazy, amazing, good conversations as men of God. About a year ago, right before I got here, the elders stood up and they repented of a spirit of religion, right? Having a form of godliness but denying his power. Trying to walk in the whole Christian thing themselves. And throughout this year, we've kind of identified that that was not just a one-headed dragon, that was really a three-headed dragon. And there was two other things that kind of accompany that. And another one is a spirit of control and a spirit of poverty. A spirit of control that we have to control this. This is our church. We got to control it, right? We got to make sure we look good and sound good and own everything. And anybody who's, you know, not, we're going to control you. And then the spirit of poverty. God has given us the stuff and we got to hold on to it. It's ours. It's ours to hold on to. Instead of releasing it and going, God of the universe, what do you want us to do? In the greater Nyack area. What do you want us to do? And so these men of spirit that I call them are going to come up here now. And this is what this is going to look like. Understand this was not a person or persons. This stuff creeps in. It's a slow fade. It creeps in over years and years and years. And then it kind of takes root, right? Kind of takes root and kind of sits in and festers, and it keeps you from being able to do the things that God requires of you. And so what we're going to do is one of the elders is going to read a prayer to the Lord of repentance for the spirit of control. And when we're going to give you an opportunity. Maybe control is your thing. Maybe there's things you're holding on to. They're in your hand, and you don't want to release those to the Lord. We're going to give you an opportunity just to, if you want to kneel, kneel. If you need to stand, stand. It's not a show. If it's not yours, don't own it. But if it is, man, just let it go. Our prayer every Sunday morning is as people walk out those doors, they leave their junk behind. So just leave it. So we're going to repent of this control thing, give you an opportunity. And then we're going to do a blessing. Lord, we're going to trust you with the things you have for us. And then we're going to go after the spirit of poverty. Lord, for far too long, we've held onto these things like they were ours and not yours. I want to give them back to you. And if that's yours, it doesn't matter how big, how small that thing is. It's not about richness. It's about clinging to the things and not releasing them back to the Lord. We're going to repent of that. And if that's yours, own it. If it's not, don't. Stand, kneel, whatever you need to do. And then we're going to pray a prayer of generosity, that God would call us to be generous people. And then to wrap the whole thing up, we're going to celebrate in communion, which is not a funeral. It's a celebration that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has a relationship with you and me.
Join us in prayer. Our Father, the church exists to represent the kingdom of God on earth and to be a community in which hope and life and redemption can be found. You've asked us to freely give what we've been freely given, new life in Jesus Christ. But in our history as Living Christ Church, we have often valued the wrong things for far too long. Lord, you've called us to humble servanthood, and we have often valued being know-it-alls. You've asked us to use our gifts to build one another up, and sometimes we've used that as opportunities to control and judge and put people in their place. Father, we've valued the need to be right. We've enjoyed winning arguments and debates. We've enjoyed asserting our authority over one another. We've enjoyed being seen as rational and respectable people in the eyes of others. We've created an atmosphere in which people need to behave rather than be broken. Most of all, Father, we have allowed our spirit of control to quench the work of your Holy Spirit, and we are sorry. We're sorry. Our Father, we repent for limiting the coming of your kingdom in and through Living Christ Church because of our spirit of control. As the gatekeepers of your church, we renounce the spirit of control once and for all, and we ask for your forgiveness.
As you sit in silence and receive the Lord's forgiveness, this is an opportunity to renounce that spirit of control in your own life. If you're a person who tends to value being correct about things or moving forward in wholeness, who judges the motives and decisions of others, who manipulates to get your way or limits the work of the kingdom because of what you're afraid of, what you might have to do, now's your time. Respond by kneeling or standing right where you are. In this moment, pray a prayer of forgiveness and blessing of trust over our church and our community and over our lives.
Lord, you have heard our prayers. We understand that following you sometimes involves risk and moving forward before we understand all the little details. We thank you that we can move forward in your freedom and in your power. We thank you from the depths of our heart of your forgiveness for us, and that we can move ahead as individuals and as a church, moving forward in your strength and power and the freedom that you provided. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
A prayer of repentance for a spirit of poverty. Father, with open hands, you've given us many good things, so many good things. You've given us life, to experience what it is to be made in your image. You've given us a community among one another to have the opportunity to share our best and our worst moments together, to love and to be loved. You've given us beautiful property and useful facilities. You've given us financial blessings. You have sent us humble volunteers who have wanted no more than to expand your kingdom. And you have given us opportunity after opportunity to surrender these good things back to you for your kingdom's sake. And yet so many times we have responded by saying, not yet. It's not enough. We're not ready. We need more. Or what about the future? What if we need it tomorrow? When you've called for risk and generosity, we responded with an attitude of poverty. We've acted like the children of an irresponsible and selfish father when the truth is that you have lavished us with every good blessing, every good and perfect gift, even giving us your one and only son. Our Father, we repent. We turn. We turn from limiting ourselves in your kingdom because of the spirit of poverty. As the gatekeepers of your church, we renounce the spirit of poverty once and for all. And ask for your forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. As you sit in silence and receive the Lord's forgiveness, this is your opportunity to renounce the spirit of poverty in your own life. If you're a person who tends to withhold from others or who refuses to enjoy the good things that God has given you and limits the work of the kingdom because you're afraid you might lose what you now have. Take this opportunity to stand or kneel where you are. And in this moment, we'll pray a prayer of forgiveness and blessing, of generosity over our church and over you.
Heavenly Father, we want to be people who are serious about living in the way that fits your image, the image we were created in, because you are a generous Father who gives lavishly, who gives freely, and who gives generously. We ask you to replace our spirit of poverty with the spirit of generosity, Lord. We want to be people who give generously of all our resources, our finances, our time, our talents, and beyond. We want to love people the way you have loved us, with open hands, without reservation. We want to make use of everything that Living Christ Church has to offer, and we have to offer. People, property, our facilities, and our community influence. The things that we hold on to too tightly, Lord, we release them back to you, God. And we ask that you keep releasing your resources to us so we can surrender them back to you and to do kingdom work to which you are called, which we were called. Lord, we're ready to become the people of generosity. Mm-hmm. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Will you join us in freedom then? When Jesus was about to die, he gathered around his close ones for a non-traditional Passover meal. And he changed the story. And he said, "This is my bread. This bread is my body broken for you. This cup is my blood shed for you. Take and eat, take and drink in remembrance of me." And as often as you get together, do this in remembrance of me. The God of the universe gave his life for you and for me. Selah. Will you join us in this party of remembering what the King of the universe has done for you and for me? We have stations here and here and in the middle up in the balcony. When you're ready, when you've let it all go, come and rejoice with us. If you're on any kind of faith journey heading towards the King, we ask you to join us this morning. Come out down the center aisle. Come to one of these stations. We'll bless you and send you back, and then we're going to rejoice, if that's okay with you. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity to talk about how awesome and amazing you are. Lord, bring us to a place this morning where we rejoice because of who you are and who you desire to be in us. Everything we have are but filthy rags to you, but for some reason you lavish on us white robes of righteousness. Thank you, Daddy, in your name. Amen. Hey, one more request. When you come, don't come by yourself. Grab somebody next to you and bring them along, because this is a family ordeal. Come when you're ready.